So let me chant a few mantras to invoke blessings upon us. Om Agyanatyanasya Gyanada Sadavya Chakshurvinitamena Tasmai Sri Gurudeva Namaha Sri Chaitanya
can understand that actually
many of the circumstances are not in my control. But we understand that these circumstances are all under control of Krishna. Krishna has arranged everything and is arranging everything in this world. Sometimes it is said, is the world a product of evolution or is it intelligent design? And we will say, intelligent design. We say behind everything is Krishna. It is Krishna, the Supreme Lord, Bhagavan, who has designed this world. Some philosophers have argued, and they have said, how can it be? How can it be when the world is full of faults? How can it be when there is injustice? How can it be that there is a God who controls things in this world when there is injustice in the world? Some have said. But the injustice is only from our perspective, because we cannot truly see. We cannot see the full history. We see each other as we are today. You will see me seated on the stage. How much can you see? You have been introduced at the beginning of the talk, a Swami, originally hailing from the Netherlands, then spending many years in India, being involved in large projects in India for a long time, and in that way you've got an impression of who I am. But then, how much do you really know? There is much more. Some of you know me better. They know a few more details. But who would know my mother's first name? Only very few. Only very few. Who would know the school that I went to? Who would know the house where I was born? Who would know other than a handful of people who are not here now? Who would know? Who would know what I was before this life? Who would know? Who would know where I was in a previous life? Who would know whether in that previous life I was in one country or another? Who would know which country? Who would know what kind of body I had in a previous life? Who would know? Who would know? We don't know. None of us know of each other these details, these kind of things. These things are not so easy to know, because our knowledge is limited, very limited. But Krishna knows everything. He knows what everyone was in his last life, the good and bad they did, and in the life before, the many lives before that. Because scripture says, Anadya Bahir Mukha. It is said the living being is in this material realm, life after life, since time immemorial. We cannot trace out the origin. So in this way, when we really look upon a person, then we should understand that this person is someone who has existed over many, many lives. And Krishna knows their actions in all these lives and Krishna knows the reactions, the karmic reactions that they get for all the actions in all their lives. And Krishna knows what sin, and Krishna knows what pious activity. Krishna knows when we prayed. Krishna knows when we cheated. Krishna knows when we were dishonest. Krishna knows when we acted in a criminal way. Krishna knows everything from all these sides. Therefore, Krishna knows us better than we know ourselves. Because what do we know about ourselves? We have forgotten our last life and the life before and all those lives. We have forgotten. But Krishna knows. Sometimes there are people, they become angry with God. When some misfortune happens, when some calamity happens, they say, but how can this happen to me? This is not fair. How can it be? We are good people. And how is it that these things are happening? But we don't know. We don't know what we did in so many lives. Therefore, it is difficult sometimes to accept some strong reactions in this life. But the devotee will bow down. In the Bhagavad Gita, it says that the devotee bows down. The devotee doesn't just bow down his body. It's not about gymnastics. The essence of yoga is not about how much you are able to bend this way, that way, to stretch this way, that way, to stand on the head this way, that way, in various asanas. The essence of yoga is found in the meaning of the word. The word yoga is actually a word derived from the Sanskrit verb yuktenam. And the word yuktenam means to connect. Therefore, yoga means to connect with the Supreme. To connect with the Lord. It is there where the devotee begins. The devotee connects with the Lord. And the devotee is, in this way, giving his life to the Lord. The devotee is fully bowing down to the Lord, not as a means of exercise, not as an asana, but the devotee is bowing down to bow down his will, to say, I give up my independence. My Lord, I will act in this life according to your desire. That is the message of the Gita. To act according to the desire of the Lord. In the beginning of the battle of Kurukshetra, it is Arjuna who finds himself on the battlefield, and Krishna basically wants him to fight, and Arjuna says, Govinda, Nayutsava, Govinda, I shall not fight. So Arjuna is having his independent desire, his independent plan. Arjuna is not desiring to surrender to Krishna's will. But the whole theme of the Bhagavad Gita is to bring Arjuna to this point where he surrenders, where he simply surrenders, gives up his own will, his own plan, and accepts to live his life according to the directions of Krishna. These directions are recorded in the Bhagavad Gita for our purpose, so that we can follow in the footsteps of Arjuna and ourselves also, that we can surrender our lives. If we do so, then we are attained on a platform of intelligence. one who is accepting the plan of the Lord is intelligent because the Lord is the controller.
So then some microphones and some buttons and some knowledge.
So gradually our instruments are arriving, and once they will be there and the microphones will be set up and the artist will come on the stage, then I will also sing for you. Because philosophy is one thing. We need philosophy. The philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita is very important. It gives us a sense of direction in life. Without a sense of direction, when you drive around, you know what happens. You very easily get lost. So the Bhagavad Gita keeps us on course. Also, philosophy helps us, especially when we are facing a trial, a testing period. Like this Krishna consciousness is very nice on a beautiful day when it's a wonderful festival, but it's more difficult. It is more difficult when we are alone and facing difficulties in our family. At that time, the philosophy of the Gita will help us. Kirtan is the chanting of the name of the Lord, accompanied by music, and that will bring about a wonderful atmosphere and mood, as we heard before from our gospel choir, who also sang the holy name for us. And then that kirtan will penetrate into our heart. In our heart, the kirtan will act, because the name of the Lord is no different from the Lord. And the kirtan, in that way, will remove the impurities from the heart. Because in scriptures it says, Krishna Surya Sam Maya Andhakar Yavaita Krishna Tahanani Maya Adhikar. Krishna is like the sun, and Maya, the illusory energy, is like darkness. Wherever there is Krishna, darkness cannot remain. So this is the situation. So in this way, we are preparing to chant kirtan. It is said that those who simply hear the kirtan, they become purified. Karma is removed from their hearts. Those who clap their hands during the kirtan, they get more purified because they're actively participating. Those who clap their hands and even sing during the kirtan, they are active in devotional service. They are not just passive receivers of mercy, but they themselves are glorifying the Lord. So those who hear the glorification, they are passive. They get mercy. But those who are active, they get the most mercy. So in this way, we invite you all to chant with us, because in that way, the maximum of mercy will be attained, and that is truly the aim of this kirtan. So, without further ado, thank you very much. I will move down behind the harmonium and get ready to sing for you. Thank you.